from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
With a 5-0 lead in the third. Coors Field, where power hitters come to get healthy.
Producer Evan is so excited. He's so excited. That's why Pete Alonso gets the home run call of the day. Second home run for Pete Alonso in the Mets win. Gary Cohen with the home run call. And the Mets are officially right now, a wild card team. Yep. Congratulations, Producer Evan. All right, great home run call today. Great way to start the day. Thank you to Wasabi Technologies, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, for walking side by side with us once again. And we've had a great week. We're going to punctuate this week with a great podcast. And it is with a person who already did a podcast this week on Pitch and Moan with Johnny Gomes. But we had to go back and talk to Courtney Finnegan for a couple reasons. Initially, we were going to talk to Courtney just about doing a ballpark review, because she went to Petco Park for the first time. And spoiler alert, she really, really liked it. And she really, really liked the wine cellar in Petco Park. That's part of this podcast. But the main part of this podcast is Courtney reacting to Pedro Grifol being fired and the state of the White Sox. And I just want to say, I want to thank Pedro Grifol for initially coming on our podcast way back when he was hired. We talk a lot about that. He's a good man, and I think he'll land on his feet somewhere. It is a tough situation, and we break it all down. And there's no better. There's nobody who's more passionate about it. There's nobody better equipped to talk about this whole, the state of the White Sox and the vibes around the White Sox on the day that Pedro Grifol is fired, than Courtney Finnegan. So that's exactly what we do. We talk to Courtney. And then, like I said, at the end of the podcast, we get the ballpark review. All right. Thank you, everybody. Rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review, subscribe. And a reminder to all the people in Chicago area, the offer that we have out there, and we'll be announcing the winner of this. If you can, you can submit a 5-star review and send me the screenshot, or send the screenshot at BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring. And you automatically enter in to win 2 really, really good tickets for the White Sox game on Monday against the Yankees. And to top everything's off, the aforementioned Courtney Finnegan will come down to your seat and present you with the Baseball Isn't Boring prize pack, which includes, yes, Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirts. All right. I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. It's a good time. It makes everybody in White Sox land feel a little bit better. And you can see Grady Sizemore manage a game. There you go. All right. So as we said, it's a good podcast. Here you go. Here's Courtney Finnegan.
All right, Courtney Finnegan, you know who else I'd rather have on the podcast right now?
I mean, I can't imagine there's anyone better to have on this podcast right now after what I just went through all day today. I don't think there's anybody better. Do you?
You are correct. Nobody.
Thank
you. Nobody. I'd rather have nobody.
Nobody.
So it's, wow, what a day. Well, as we tape this, what a day. A little bit behind the scenes, pull back the curtain, that we were already planning on doing a podcast. It was going to be on just your ballpark review, your delicious ballpark review of, Petco Park. And I can't wait for that. And we will also do this, but we have to, I sincerely mean it when I say, there is nobody I'd rather have on the podcast right now, today, at this moment, or really any time, but especially right now, Courtney.
I was going to say, I mean, anytime, it's always a pleasure when we get to convene and talk about the wonderful game of baseball. But today, especially, just like what we did a year ago, almost to this date, when Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams got their walking papers, that was almost a year ago, Rob. And here we are again. On a very special occasion in my White Sox life, speaking to you again about this joyous, joyous day. But there's a lot to say.
Yes,
there is a
okay.
lot to say here.
So I'll probably at some point in this podcast, and maybe right now I'll drop it in, pull up part of the interview that we did with Pedro Grifol, where I think we came away from that. We were both like, let's go. Let's go.
Absolutely.
We're all fired up. Let's go.
Absolutely.
And you know, I want to preface this by saying Pedro seems like a very good guy. And
absolutely.
And my interactions with him have been great, including the podcast that we did. He was nice enough to come on just, you know, a little while after he was hired. You know, you that's where your brand really took off, I feel like.
It did.
So you owe that to Pedro.
I literally said this morning. I go, you know, I have a lot to say on the whole Pedro Grifol era, of course. But at the end of the day, the silver lining is he put me on the map. So, you know, I... Thank you, Pedro, for that.
And then you would proceed to rip him for a year and a half.
Literally.
But listen, this is the way of the world. And
it is.
You know, we have, you know, that interview. It was really an example of, he said, remember, and we'll get to what happened since that interview, which wasn't good. But really, Courtney, going back to that interview, it really felt like especially coming off of Tony La Russa, it was hitting on all the right things. He was saying all the right things. It's like, you know, it was almost, and I always use this like Rudy on the stool analogy, like from, you know, like Rudy, like he's on the stool in the middle, but that's almost how it felt. Like he was getting on the stool in the middle of the clubhouse. We're going to hit him high. We're going to hit him low. We're going to do it the White Sox way and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, and so anyway, to go back to this, I want you to go back to that time of that feeling, because let's not forget that feeling. Let's not forget how you felt coming out of the La Russa era and how you felt after that interview. Can you remember that?
And I have been thinking about this really the past couple months, because I have circled back on everything he told me. And again, to your point, he gave us close to an hour on that interview. I mean, he took it. He gave us thoughtful answers. He gave me thoughtful answers. He answered the questions I asked him and my concerns for this team to the best of his ability at the time. And I do want to say that I appreciated that, because he didn't have to do that and he did it. So with all that being said, though, I think about the things he said to me and the things that he wanted to implement. And I remember, just as you said, I was so excited. I'm like, okay, this is the fresh start we were talking about. It's a younger guy. He's saying all the things I want to hear. But at the end of the day, he did none of that. None of that. And I look back and I think to myself, did this guy just really not know what he was getting into? Did he really not know how fractured this organization really is and how fractured that clubhouse was? I think back when I asked him a very direct question of, okay, the White Sox just, you know, split time with Jose Abreu. He's gone. He was considered our number one leader in the clubhouse. Who do you see moving forward as that leader? And he really couldn't give me an answer on that. And to me, this is a guy who saw the Sox play in Kansas City all the time. So he was familiar with the team. And I think we don't have to be in the clubhouse to see players and realize that, okay, that's the leader of that team. I think there are guys that stick out to us without being in the clubhouse. And the fact that there was no guy that Pedro could really say to me without a shadow of a doubt that this is going to be the next leader told me that he didn't really have an idea about what this team was about. That's kind of my thought on it.
No, it's a great thought. And you, as you're saying that, I remember probably the thing, the biggest takeaway from that interview was that bout of honesty, or which we always love anytime we get an active manager on, which is him saying, yeah, there's times where I looked over at the White Sox, remember?
Yep.
He said, we're going to beat them. Like, we're going to beat them. Like, that was like, okay, thank you. Like, that's
right.
And we have, as bad as it is now, and it is much, much worse, unbelievably, than it was.
Yes, unbelievably.
Unbelievably. But that was, it was such, for White Sox fans, when they heard that, number one, they were like, yes, thank you for someone being honest and saying that, because that's what we thought. But also, that was how bad it was. It was bad.
It was very bad. And we thought, I mean, I remember, and I laugh about it, because we thought the Tony La Russa era, it couldn't get much worse than this. Like, we literally in Chicago said those words. Can't be much worse than Tony La Russa. Are you kidding? And here we are, you know, not even 2 years in to the Pedro Grifol era, and he's 101 games below 500. 101 games below 500. That is unheard of. And whether it's 20% his fault, 50% his fault, 80% his fault, which it isn't, you gotta have accountability here. And he had to be the fall guy. It was the easiest thing.
It goes back to you can't fire the whole team. But I do want to go back to sort of how we've gotten here from there. And I think because it just seemed like it spiraled out of control. And here's my thing. Here's my guess. I want you to disagree with me. Don't agree with me if you don't agree, Courtney.
Okay. Rob, have I ever agreed with anyone or you agree?
That's fair. But when he got there, as we know from the 2023 White Sox, it was a terrible clubhouse. And you mentioned Abreu, not having Abreu there, but it was terrible. And
it was.
We have an unbelievable amount of examples, some public, some private, and everything else. But it was a terrible clubhouse, and I don't pin that on Pedro Grifol. Now, I do think that Pedro Grifol came in and I've seen this happen before, Courtney, where a manager comes in and says, it's been bad, so we have to do it 180 degrees different. That's always a dangerous thing. Because
I agree.
Because the players, baseball players, are creatures of some habit. So when you say, you know, whether it's like early in spring training where Pedro Grifol is basically treating the veterans like the rookies, which it doesn't really work a lot of times.
It does not.
No. Yep. And I do think that Pedro sort of evolved. You know, he's a first time manager, but my point is that from the minute you got in that clubhouse and then you're doing this, you're almost swimming upstream because the clubhouse never was getting better. And I don't know if I don't think that was Pedro Grifol's fault. I think that was the construct of the team, right?
It was the construct of the team. Absolutely correct. And I don't think Pedro, to his credit, fully grasps how broken this clubhouse was. I don't think he did. I also don't think he really understood that 80% of the time, you're going to be down a Yoan Moncada. You're going to be down a Luis Robert. You're going to be down an Eloy Jimenez. You're going to have these alleged core guys of the Sox out for a long period of time. And another thing that stood out to me about that Pedro interview with us was that he said, you know, during spring training, we're going to make these guys go out there and practice harder and blah, 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 blah. How are you going to make, at the time, a Tim Anderson, a Yasmani Grandal, Luis Robert, all the, how are you going to make them practice harder? Like you just said, these are guys that were a creature of habit. And then as we saw, as this tenure went on, Pedro was terrified of these veterans. So to me, the only accountability Pedro ever put on any of the players was the rookies. That was a huge mistake, and that made Sox fans insane. So I think there was a disconnect in that clubhouse before Pedro, but I don't think he helped it.
Yeah, it's all good points, and I'm not just saying that because I'm agreeing with you. So I want to disagree, but I can't.
It's hard to disagree with me. I know this team, unfortunately, the back of my hand.
It's really like, how could I disagree? I would disagree with you.
That's it.
I'll disagree when we start talking about Petco Park. I don't know. But I probably not. But you're right about the not being able to change these players because these are baseball players who don't want to be changed, and they might change for a little bit, but it is what it is. And I think that another thing it seemed was that Pedro Grifol has been around baseball a long time. He knows how long a baseball season he is. He knows how things can change in a blink of an eye. So when something happens in April of 2023, May of 2023, June of 2023, he also knows that, you know, in baseball, it's not like you can say, give that again, Rudy on the stool speech and have a team meeting and everything's going to change. Because if you have the team meeting, Courtney, then you lose the next day, then you use that team meeting bullet. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So I think that he always, from my perspective, he always understood or always had that in his mind. I'm going to stay positive because it's a long season and we got to, it's a building thing. The problem is, and you can speak to this better than I can, it seemed like the positivity in public was, and we don't know what, you know, exactly behind the scenes, but in public, the positivity was maybe more overboard than it should have been.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And allegedly, and again, you know, you hear different things from different people. You know, I have my own sources. You have your own sources. Allegedly, that rah-rah positivity was kind of fake, to be honest. That what he was saying out in the media wasn't exactly translating on how he was handling these clubhouse meetings, talking to the players. You know, there was a report out literally last week that Pedro basically told the players, guess what? If you break the losing streak record, that's on you guys. That's not on me. Allegedly, that was the rumor that kind of went on. There's been a lot of chatter, really the entire season, about the clubhouse being lost for a long time. There was clearly a disconnect in this clubhouse somewhere with Pedro and the players. And I would argue that because you see other teams, you know, the next closest team, even though they're really not that close, to the White Sox and being how bad they are the Rockies. Now, you see the way the Rockies play. They don't play like the Sox. Like, the thing that stood out to me the most about how the White Sox were is how they looked when they lost. You know, you look at the way the A's play. The A's play hard. Hotsley's got those guys playing hard. Bud Black, a very well-respected baseball man. These teams that are losing did not look like the way the Sox looked. I don't know how to properly explain it, but they just looked like they didn't care. And to me, that does show me a little bit about how they respected Pedro as a manager.
I agree. Like, you talking through it, you know, being around the Rockies a little bit, I see that. It's because I've been around the Rockies a couple times this year, and I'm thinking, how do you've been bad for a few years now, and how do you do it? But you never get that sense, and I don't know. I mean, maybe, but you never get that sense that if things were just going off the rails,
right? Like chaos. You don't get the sense from the Rockies that there's constant turmoil in that clubhouse.
No,
you get that sense here. You get it here. And I truly, as much as it's not 100% Pedro's fault, but he does play a role in this. And I believe it's his management of the players and how things have operated since his tenure. I mean, if the Sox traded positions with the A's and the A's players were playing on the south side of Chicago, including Mark Hotsay as the manager, this team would look totally different. Mm. You know, I've seen the A's play a lot in these last 2 years, and that's a team that's fun bad. I thought the Sox could be this Oakland A's team. I thought they could be fun bad, grind out wins on occasion, and that just hasn't happened.
Can you make that up? Fun bad?
I've used fun bad for a while. I've never used fun bad in front of you.
I don't think so. Fun bad is a good, yeah. I mean,
fun bad. I mean, the Oakland A's are fun bad.
Yeah, that's good. Hashtag fun bad.
That's it.
So, you know, so when, and you said something about, you know, this isn't all Pedro's fault, and we're focused on Pedro because he was fired. But let's go back to last year. So, you know, the clubhouse is bad. It was a talented team, but it was utterly dysfunctional. You get to the trade deadline, you're selling off a million people. It's over. I think there was a time, even 2023, where there was, maybe they could make a run, and then it sort of went off the rails. But
yep.
Everybody knew, and we talked about this, that everybody knew that they were going to have an enema to that roster. And so they did. Like, they did, right?
They did. They actually did.
But at the end of the day, so you coming in this year, this is the question I have for you, is that, okay, you know, we focus on Pedro and all the shortcomings and how, you know, he's to blame for a lot of this or some of this. How much is it to blame for the talent? Like, when you come into this year, how much of a lack of talent there was? Because I think that some of the blame has to go to Getz.
I think a majority of this blame needs to go to Getz.
Okay, let's give me the here we go. Here's a fun percentage.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
I think
three, we're going to do three categories. We'll put up the poll. Okay. Blame pie. Chris Getz, Pedro Grifol, players.
We can't.
When I say players, I'm talking about players, the mentality of the players. Like, because Chris Getz falls under the getting the good players in. So.
Right. Well, I mean, if we really want to put blame and put the percentage on blame, to me, this starts way at the top, and that's ownership.
Strike that.
And it's not even close.
Strike that.
It's not even close. Right. I mean,
I'm going to say ownership, Getz, Grifol, players, ice cream shake.
Ice cream. Hey, at the very least.
0%.
We still have the milkshake at the very least. We still have that.
Evan, please cut that clip. Save it. Thank you. We at least have White Sox, 2024 Red Sox, White Sox, : we still have the milkshake.
Guys, 45 games left. We still have the milkshake. There's a reason to come out to the park.
Have you partaken in the milkshake?
I did, yes. Remember, we did a whole podcast.
I know,
about the
I can't. You've been to so many ballparks. I don't know.
I have,
but yeah, but that's yes. I mean, that was one of your best lines. One of the best lines. I'm paraphrasing, but this team is not made for milkshakes. It's made for alcohol.
And it is, and it still is.
Anyway,
yes.
Ownership, Getz, Grifol, players, percentage.
I mean, I would be willing to throw 100% on ownership.
Ooh.
Because without Jerry Reinsdorf as the owner, we would have never even had Chris Getz as GM. You know, he got this role that was completely undeserved to him. I mean, he oversaw the minor league team, a very flawed minor league system that was not developing players. He got moved up the ranks way too quick. And, you know, most GMs or most owners would be looking outside the box of their White Sox realm and looking for talent and baseball minds outside of whatever world the White Sox exist in. And Jerry's refusal to do that is mind-blowing and very frustrating, not just for Sox fans, but for Bulls fans. Let's not forget, he owns two teams in this town, and they both operate in the same dysfunctional way. Mm. So to me, 100% of the blame needs to go to ownership. And then it's just a trickle down effect from there.
I mean, if you put it, I don't know, if I'm no math major, but if you put 100% in one person, everyone else is getting zero.
That's it.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Here's, I guess so. This is how I phrase it. And I think that you raise a lot of good points. But if this take ownership out now that we know that 100%, now we're left with Getz, Grifol, and the players. What's the blame pie?
I would go taking out ownership, which is hard to do, but I would go probably 65 to 70% Getz.
Okay.
Yeah. I would because he constructed this team, right? I mean, he came out in the offseason and said he didn't like last year's team. He said those exact words. And to come back and now with this team that's potentially going to lose and break the record for the all-time losing games in a year, that is horrifying. And they did this with, let's not forget, with pretty good starting pitching. You know, we had Eric Fetty for half the year, who was great. Mm. And we have Garrett Crochet. And they still managed to win only 28 games. That there is a serious fundamental problem here.
It's funny because he went through the deadline and you did the thing. You knew you were going to be bad. So you get the fans, you get the Clevengers, you get these guys. Yep. You think you're going to trade them for something. But I was talking to one GM in June who would be on the high end, you know, buyers. And they said, you know, they should trade Crochet right now in June. And he was right. Like, obviously, he was right for a few different reasons, including, by the way, you know, Crochet comes out of nowhere and says his thing about, you know, basically handcuffs and makes him almost untradeable.
And, literally.
Yeah. And so, but that's one of the things that, you know, you had to do if you're a Chris Getz. So, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. And remember, Courtney, too, is we knew that this roster had to be turned inside out. We knew that the dynamic had to change. And you could see what they were doing to an extent, where, remember, Mike Moustakas, two guys that have very short lives in the White Sox, but
right,
were there for, I think, the very tangible reasons. Mike Moustakas, Brett Phillips. And I'm probably...
Leadership.
I mean, can talk to people, talk about Mike Moustakas about being the best teammate they've ever been around.
Always been a fan of his. You know, yep. He was on the Angels towards the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Not only did that guy produce, but he was beloved in that clubhouse. So that is a guy that can, obviously he was signed for that reason. And, you know, there's something fundamentally very, very wrong with this team. And to me, it will always start at the top.
Okay. I mean, so now we get into this losing streak, or when things really went off the rails. And you had mentioned that report. I heard that as well about, you know, hey guys, this is going to be on you. It's not going to be on me, which is, you know, by then it was over anyway. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
But is there anything that could have been done? Did you say, like, and I see, like, your reaction. Like, what do you do? Like, you're very knowledgeable. I'm doing a terrible job with capturing the right words, but you're very adept at finding the things that, oh my goodness, that was a terrible play. What, you know, this is a reason why the White Sox are losing. And so, but what could have been done? I mean, this is not what could have been done them in contention, but what I'll say is Courtney Finnegan, you're the manager of the White Sox. All right. Congratulations. 2024.
I guess congratulations.
All right, it's a paycheck. So
good point.
Yeah. But so you're the manager of the White Sox. You're presented with this roster that Chris Getz had. What would you have done differently?
You know, it's a great question. This is why you're a reporter. This is why you're the best in the business. This is why
I am, as Mike Hazen said, the Nostradamus of podcasters.
And he did say that. And I saw that quote, and very, very well done there.
Thank you.
You know, I do think there wasn't a lot to be done here. I would agree with that. I do, however, would argue that I thought the defense would be a little bit better this year than last year. That has not been the case. In fact, it's been worse. And to me, I don't know how that's possible because they had certain guys that were actually supposed to play their position. Like, you know, they had Nicky Lopez in the infield. You know, Dominic Fletcher was in right, an actual right fielder. Why this defense is so bad, only they know. There wasn't, I think the only thing I would have improved on is the way the pitchers were handled. I think Pedro was quick to, you know, starting pitching was not the issue with the Sox. And I feel like there were times where Pedro was quick to take the hook on some of the starting pitchers, mm-hmm. you know, a Crochet, Fetty, you know, putting them on, certainly Crochet because he's been injured, putting him on, you know, obviously a pitch amount, you yeah. know, you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And then bringing in that horrible bullpen and then blowing games. I think there was a lot of that going on that maybe could not have, there maybe would have been 5, 6, 7 more wins if that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. But to Pedro's credit, there wasn't a lot to be done with this roster. And that is why I look at Chris Getz as 65-70% of the blame. The only thing that Pedro could have improved on was maybe his communication with these players and not enabling chaos in the clubhouse, which is what it constantly felt like.
I would like to go back. I got to go back to, it is amazing, you know, the roster that they had, guys who have left, but not only left, but basically proven that they aren't like really feasible players. Tim Anderson jumps to mind, obviously. You know, obviously. Elvis Andrews was another guy who they brought in. At the time when they brought in Elvis Andrews last year, oh, this guy is going to help us actually compete for a playoff spot. And it is what it is. But it was like these guys didn't have their gloves broken in. So
literally. Yeah.
And, you know, you can go down the list and obviously Luis Robert, we've talked so much about him, about this guy should be a top 10, maybe top 5 player in the game. And he's not.
He's just not.
Eloy Jimenez, you just gave away.
I mean, you can make an argument that they just gave Dylan Cease away. I mean, we saw how much Preller gave up for to get Tanner Scott and Adam. I mean, 4 top prospects they gave up. And Dylan Cease is an ace. I mean, he's been great for the Padres. He was great for us. And we didn't get nearly enough for him. Mm-hmm. There's something fun. Again, that's why a lot of the chunk of the blame goes on Chris Getz in this organization. It's just, you almost feel like the other GMs are taking advantage of Chris Getz. You know, I mean, you give Eloy Jimenez away, that Fetty trade, I still don't understand how the Cardinals got away with what they did. They gave away nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It will forever be a mystery. It really is.
All right. Let's spin it forward. Give me the manager that you want. Talk to some other people in Chicago today. You know, names are flying around all over, and it's interesting because we know this isn't to your point. I mean, it's ownership and then it's Getz or it's roster construction and then it's manager. The manager is going to be only do so much, but you want a more palatable situation. What you want, Courtney, is a manager who is going to get the most out of the players that you have, right?
Exactly.
That a lot of times that's what it comes down to. Who do you want? Anybody jump to mind?
To me, if I had my pick of the litter, it's friend of the broadcast, friend of the podcast, my guy, Terry Francona, of course.
Ooh.
Because
he would come on, Courtney. He would never, ever do that.
He would never do that. Of course not. But you asked me specifically if I had to pick anyone.
Yeah.
You did say that.
No, it's fair and it's a good one. I'm glad you mentioned that. And there are scenarios where I say you never do that. If there was an ownership group that said, we're going to give you council money, then
right.
I'm not going to say never. I mean, he might do it. Right?
I mean, you know, Terry certainly knows. He knows the organization. He started with us. He knows the team. He was in Cleveland forever. I mean, he certainly knows how chaotic and dysfunctional this organization is, too. But it seems like Terry is kind of dipping his toe in and seeing what jobs are out there, maybe getting back in the game, Would he want to take this mess on? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But crazier things have happened. Tony La Russa came out of the grave to, you know, manage us for a couple of years. You never know. But, obviously.
No, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to. Go ahead.
Good idea.
Yeah. I like Tony. Anyway, go ahead.
But, you know, I think that the Sox need someone, like you just said, to really work on what they have. Because at the end of the day, this offseason, you know, again, Chris Getz came out this morning and said, oh, you know, there's going to be, you know, this offseason, we're going to spend some money. We've heard that before. I think, you know, there's a lot of names being thrown around, including our friend John Gibbons. Wouldn't that be kind of funny?
Yeah.
You know, another guy that's been floated for a couple months now has been Skip Schumacher of the Marlins, which I don't know how I feel about that. He's certainly young. I don't know what they're going to do, because to me, they can put me in there and there's still going to be all these other issues that are above and beyond anything a manager can do. So
I'll tell you what, if you do get the managing job, don't forget about us, please.
Oh, right. I would still do podcasts with you. Ooh, you know that. Come
right,
on.
Let's go. yeah. Another name, which I had thrown out there, which, you know, again, probably won't happen. How about David Ross?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that too. I've heard people talking about it back and forth in Chicago. Oh, you know, how would you feel to have the ex-Cub, you know, on the other side of town? It would be interesting. I mean, I feel like we're seeing now with this Cub team that maybe David Ross got a lot of that blame, that maybe it was a little undeserved last year. But yeah, I would be open to it at this point. I think David is a smart baseball guy. He certainly has the credentials. It would be interesting. He would be an ex-Sox player. He would not be an ex-Sox player, which would be a brilliant move altogether. So
you're not all in on AJ Pruszynski?
Don't even get me started on that. There's not enough time to get all that off my chest today. Okay. So I do not want AJ Pruszynski. Right. I don't want anyone of that ilk. So no.
You would agree though that, and I don't know if you would agree, but I think that they should get someone who's managed before. Like this is the Pedro Grifol thing. You hadn't managed, you know, and there's obviously examples of guys being successful of not managing. You look at the Mets, Carlos Mendoza's doing a pretty good job there. Yep. You know, this happens, but I think in this situation, what you had, like Terry Francona is an awesome example, an awesome choice, because the minute he walks in there, who is going to say that he doesn't know what he's doing? Nobody.
Exactly.
You have to have somebody who can walk in that room and everybody in that room, anybody who says, can you believe we're getting this guy, is shouted down by, well, yes, I can, because he's done it before. You know, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I do think that was part of the problem here with Pedro, is that how are you going to have a Yasmani Grandal, Tim Anderson, all these veterans who kind of just do their things their own way? How are they going to respect a guy like Pedro? Now, you bring a Terry Francona into that clubhouse, you got a whole different vibe altogether there. So to me, because this team is so fractured, you need a guy that's well-respected, well-liked, knows what he's doing, been there, done that. To bring in like a Skip Schumacher who's, you know, managed for 2 years, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to have the same value as like a Terry Francona would.
All right.
Or even a John Gibbons for that matter.
Listen. I mean, you know that I'm pulling for that.
I mean, imagine a combo podcast of me and Gibby again. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. This would, believe me, like Ben Kern, and I think he's on the podcast tomorrow. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. First time is Mets bench. Actually, first time this season is Mets bench coach. So, Courtney, before we get to the ballpark review, which, like, I appreciate your time. What's the weather like there in Chicago today?
You know, it's been actually really pleasant. It's about 80, sunny. It's going to look like that for the next week or so. I'm actually very pleased about this. This is good.
Perfect. I just didn't know if I was taking you away from, I don't know, walking
the beach. I mean, I don't think I can get any tanner, Rob. You know, no, I work
like
on this.
You've hit peak time. You can't, it's like me. I'm like reached full muscle capacity. I can't get any stronger or bigger. All I can do is maintain. The same thing with your
tan. That's it. That's it. I mean, we're fast approaching mid-August. I've been working on this since mid-May. You've hit the sweet spot.
There you go.
I'm right where I need to be. I'm good.
Now it's just about maintaining. If you can only maintain that for another 6 months, you'll be good.
And, you know, I got Arizona in, you know, a little over a week. I'm going to be set for at least October. I'm good.
Perfect. You got it all mapped out. I like it. You have a tanning plan.
I have a tan. I always do.
I want to do a graphic of that. Courtney's tanning plan.
You know, we should have done that. We should have started this in the beginning of the baseball season, like early May.
No. This is what we should do. It's never too late.
It's true.
We should do, because it's easy to have a tanning plan now, right?
True.
Let's do a tanning plan from, you know, let's say September 1st to spring training, because that's where people are. In order to not show up to spring training looking ghostly.
I can never do that. You know, right? That. Never.
Right?
Never.
Every baseball team needs an off-season plan. We need a tanning plan.
So I will give you a little secret of what I do in the off season, I don't usually admit to this publicly.
Oh no.
But I do the fake and bake.
Do you? And again, people care about this, but do you do the spray, or do you do the thing?
I can't do the spray. I can't. I gotta have the real thing, man. I gotta have it. Listen, I learned this in the professional wrestling world, okay? There's a quote. Everybody looks better tan. Everybody. And even if you're, you know, not in great shape, tan fat looks better than pale fat.
Can I just tell you this? And I don't disagree. And we're going to get to the ballpark review in a second.
Eventually we'll get there.
But you're absolutely right. Number one, you're absolutely right. Everyone looks better with a tan. But at the same time, I do cringe at the people who just eat their face off and don't actually, like, and whatever. And then they get,
I mean,
one of them may be running for president right now, but it's like, you know, it's like, you know, you can tan, but it's not going to, I'm not saying like what you're saying is accurate, but it's not taking to the extreme.
Well, and I agree. And the older I've gotten, I mean, just like with anything, the older you get, you learn about stuff. You're a little more careful than you were in your youth. You know, I definitely protect my skin a little bit more than I certainly used to. You know, I've got skin cancer in my family, man. So, like, I'm very...
So your tanning plan is going to be a safe one.
A safe one, always.
It's the equivalent of your off-season tanning plan. The Baseballs and Boring Courtney Finnegan tanning plan is not going to be one where we're going over the luxury tax, where we're going to be responsible and execute a perfectly executed off-season tanning plan within the parameters of safety.
Within the parameters of safety. I literally use the beds now just to give me a quick little boost in these, you know, rough November, December, January months. And then I'm good to go for Arizona.
That's all good. That's, again, all part of the plan. I can't wait till producer Evan implements this, the Courtney Finnegan.
He's going to be like, what is going on in this segment?
John Gibbons, wait, get ready. The Courtney Finnegan tanning plan is going to help you get my White Sox job.
Imagine if that man is the White Sox manager. He's going to have to deal with my insanity all the time.
It'd be so good. How could they ever criticize him? Never, ever.
Oh, never. I mean, that man, I literally was saying this morning, that guy is one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. I mean, I adore him.
Yeah, he's great. All right. Speaking of tanning and adoring things, you went to Petco Park.
I did.
This is the Courtney Finnegan ballpark review. She's done it multiple ballparks.
That was now my 27th, so I have three more to go.
Three more. Which ones do you have to go?
I have Mets, Phillies, Atlanta.
Okay. All right. All decent.
I mean, I apparently have an issue with the NL East. I mean, I can hit the Phillies and the Mets in the same week if I wanted to.
I'm going to power rank those for you right now.
Yes.
Okay. Mets, Phillies, Atlanta. I'm going to go Atlanta number one.
Mm.
Because number one, the area around it, they built up like almost, you know, it's like an outside sort of like tons of restaurants and everything.
I have driven past it, so I know kind of what the setup is. But to me, Atlanta, and again, I have not actually been inside the stadium yet, but it's so far from actual Atlanta. And that to me.
But it doesn't matter because they have so much around there, Courtney. Like, true, that doesn't matter. True. And also, Atlanta may have the best in-game presentation, I think, in the major leagues. So
and I've heard this.
That
yep.
is number one. The Phillies, there's not a lot out around there. Actually, there's nothing around there except for the football stadium. But
right,
that doesn't matter because the ballpark is so intense. Like the fans are so into it, and it's a decent enough park. It's a nice park.
Yeah.
And Citi Field is fine. I mean, I think it's fine. Again, nothing really around there.
There's nothing around there, but I've heard the food is pretty outstanding at City, so I'd enjoy
right.
that.
Well,
certainly.
I don't want to spoil it for you. You be your own judge when you,
of course,
you get those three. All right, so Petco Park. Where do we start? So I guess we'll start with expectations, right?
Expectations. Yep.
What were your expectations going in?
So I've talked about this ballpark with so many people. And, you know, this was really the top of my list of parks to get to this year. I wanted to make sure I finally crossed off Petco Park. And my expectations were that I was going to be blown away, that this was going to be at the top of my list, number one with a bullet over Pittsburgh, over San Francisco. And it did not disappoint. It did not disappoint. Mm. And I think part of that is the atmosphere. I mean, they were playing the Dodgers, you know, I mean, would it be as fun if they were playing like the Rockies? It probably would be. But that atmosphere, the fans being into every single pitch, what really just kind of was the cherry on top for me.
Mm. Would you be, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Would you put this as your number one park?
I would now, absolutely, yes.
Ooh, wow.
And I have very specific reasons why.
Okay, well, rattle them off.
So the way I look at ballparks is location, right? The location of Petco Park is prime. It's in the middle of the city. It's in the middle of downtown. And literally, you can throw a baseball to a ton of restaurants, a ton of bars, everything walking distance, you know, before the game, after the game. It's a very festive atmosphere. Ton of hotels. You can literally check into a hotel and be overlooking, you know, Petco Park. The location is prime. It's fantastic. And then the second tier for me is concessions. What do they have to offer? What is unique? What is fun? And another thing that I look for is the kind of local flair. Are they supporting local restaurants? Are they supporting local breweries? And Petco Park does that beautifully. I mean, their craft brewery scene in that park is fantastic, just like their city is.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is very, very telling of, you know, the culture and the thought that they went behind in kind of structuring this park. And one thing that absolutely blew me away besides the concessions, they have a full blown wine cellar. In that bar, all ballpark, a full-blown wine cellar. No other team can even compare. No other ballpark can even compare. You walk into this place, it is pristine. There are hundreds of bottles on the wall, hundreds of bottles available. You can buy a bottle. I'm like, that's it. They're the winner.
So, which begs the question. A, did you see any one single pitch of the game? And and B, what did you partake in like across the board?
So, you know, my rule, any new ballpark, I get there early. And I knew I had to give myself a lot of time at Petco because A, the crowds are going to be crazy, you know, sold out those two nights in a row. And I really wanted to walk around. I wanted to see what was available concession wise. I wanted to get a feel for the park, and I'm glad I went there as early as I did, because the best thing I've had maybe in a ballpark in my entire life was their Puesto Tacos. Do you know about this place?
No.
Well-known place in San Diego.
It was in the park.
Bar none, the best tacos I've ever had at a stadium. Bar none. And I got also a margarita, a pineapple watermelon margarita at that stand as well, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I never even heard of that.
Yep. Puesto Tacos. I literally had people messaging me on social media about how this is the best taco they've ever had in their life as well, by the way.
Okay.
So, well known. And then when I discovered the wine cellar, that was a game changer for me. That was a game changer.
So was this, so you get the Puesto taco. You have the pineapple what margarita?
Pineapple watermelon margarita.
Watermelon, which is wild. And then you go to the wine cellar. Is this all before first pitch?
So the tacos and the margarita was before first pitch.
Yeah.
And then the wine cellar was probably about the third or fourth. You know, I had to space it out a little bit.
Okay.
And so I discovered the wine cellar.
Did you get a bottle and take it back to your seat?
You know, I was tempted. I was very, very tempted. I did 12 ounces. They gave me 12 ounces of Prosecco.
All right.
And then I got a Meat Lover's pizza slice.
I've never seen someone so proud of. So,
I was very proud.
So you had the tacos, and then you had pizza, and then you had the wine. There it was.
I mean, that's all I need in life are those four things.
Was it a good game or no?
It was an incredibly good game. The Dodgers had the 5-0 lead in the first. Padres started to chip away at the lead. Tied up in the ninth, won in an extras.
Nice.
I mean, it was a perfect baseball evening.
Nice weather, obviously.
Oh, perfect weather. Perfect weather.
Yeah.
And then when the game was done, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even dealing with this crazy traffic right now. My hotel wasn't too far. I'm like, I'm going to go hang out at a bar and have a cocktail and wait for the crowd to disperse.
And exactly, was that close to the park? That's another part of this, right? You have to be able to go somewhere after.
You have to. I mean, before or after. I mean, I knew I was going to eat at the park because I wanted to try all the concessions like I always do. But the luxury of having, you know, I mean, the Gas Lamp District in San Diego, I mean, it's known for its bars and restaurants. And having that a stone's throw away from your park, it's tremendous.
So if that's number one, what's number two?
You know, I'm a sucker for Coors Field. I think Coors Field is a really nice job. Yeah, I really do. I mean, I wish the product on the field was better. But, you know, they have a really nice local scene, too. They have a really good area around the park, too, of bars and restaurants.
Yeah, they have that like, little, I forget what it's called.
I know what it's called.
It's called the place where I ran my face into the pavement.
You're looking great, by the way. You feel nicely.
Yeah, it's there's a lot going on. there was that square. I think it's called a something square, but it's right across from Coors Field. But I agree. Like, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
You know, and of course, you give the nod to San Francisco as well. I think they are definitely in my top five. You know, Pittsburgh, I actually think Pittsburgh's a tiny bit overrated. I'll probably get killed for that.
It went from underrated to overrated. Not
agreed.
Tremendously overrated, but everyone was like, oh, you know what is really good and nobody knows is Pittsburgh. Yeah, no, everybody knows now.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. So yeah. I think it went from one of the best to now being, they slipped out of my top five. They're now in like the top 10. I think it's a tiny bit overrated now. But you know, the West Coast has some nice ballparks. That is for sure.
We had on, where was this? Oh, this on the radio show. I had, we had who went to the Dodger Stadium? Someone went to Dodger Stadium recently, and they said, "Oh, it's overrated."
And I don't agree with that. I like Dodger Stadium.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree at all. I love it. And like, yep. And it's, oh, I know. It was the brand manager for WEI, Ken Laird. And he's like, so he went to Dodger Stadium, went to Angel Stadium, and he's like, ah, Dodger Stadium, it's just sort of old. And there was whatever. I'm like, no, the scenery, it's unique.
It is.
The vibe is different. The fan base is different. And so I really, really enjoy it. Now, the concessions kind of stank.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. But, you know, if you compare it to Angel Stadium, like Angel Stadium is sneaky old because they have the fake rocks, the Disney rock in center field. So it's going.
Disney rock pile.
If you go up in the balcony, it's decrepit. And so, yeah. So I'm like, no, I mean, I like Dodger. I think Dodger Stadium's pretty good.
Dodger Stadium is definitely in my top 10 because it's unique. There's a lot of history there. There's a lot, you know, it's the way it's constructed. It's different. I've always liked it. I like the big speaker out in center. You know, the sound system's kind of fun. Another stadium I like that's older and they've certainly done the renovations. I'm a big fan of Camden Yards. I've always been a fan of them.
To me, honestly, Courtney, like Camden to me still is number one. Yeah. I think for concessions and things, the Petco is the best. I don't think there's any question. And that was even without the wine bar. So, but Camden, everything about it is I don't want to say economical, because that's selling it short, but it's like you have the street to hang out in, you know, it's everything's close. The sideline, everything feels close. It's like Fenway close.
You know,
like
legally
close. It feels that way. And I know that Baltimore isn't, you know, it can be a little rough sometimes, but still there's enough stuff within walking distance. It's okay. And it's right
there. I agree with you.
So yeah, I mean, I still put it at number one for me when people ask. So.
I mean, it's definitely to me, I would probably round up my top five with Camden being fifth for me. I would think so. I would think, you know, now with my 27th behind me, I'd probably put Padres number one, Coors number two, San Francisco number three. Four would probably be, you know, I like Seattle. I like Seattle. I do.
All right.
I do. And then Camden would be my fifth.
Oh, all right. All right. Let it be said, let it be done. How about Fenway? How about Fenway?
Oh, Fenway's top 10, of course. Even, you know what? I've actually, in my older years, I have grown to even appreciate going to games at Wrigley.
Well, I think the thing about Wrigley, and you know it because you live there, but it's the area around it. Like, this is how what I say about Fenway and Wrigley. And actually, I had an awkward, interaction with Bill Murray at the airport. Last year about this. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's a diehard Cub fan. Diehard.
Right. So he was in Boston for a golf tournament. And, you know, I forget how it was like 8 a.m. And so this is the thing is that, like, I don't know if you ever seen this photo of what I took in the 1993 All-Star game where Bill Murray took the first ever selfie with a disposable camera. So I'm like, I've probably talked to you about this before, but this is the opportunity to, there's Bill Murray sitting by himself. I go up to him and whatever. And so I forget how it was. Wrigley, oh yeah, like Wrigley's like in Fenway. He's like, don't even put Fenway in the same conversation as Wrigley. Don't even do it.
Wow.
He's like, I'm trying to have a good morning. And that was like the end of that conversation. So
that was it.
I was like, okay, I'm thank you. And,
I'll move on.
but my thing is Fenway's a better ballpark because I think that Wrigley hasn't renovated enough. Like it's almost like too old. And so like there's a lot of parts of Fenway, which are new.
I agree.
And the wall and the right field deck and all this stuff. But when it comes to the stuff around it, it's not even close. Wrigley blows it away. Now I will say this, they're changing that. They're investing a ton of money into Fenway, and they're going to make that whole thing build it up. But Wrigley, that's what struck me, Courtney. Like, there are so many things, places to go.
There are a lot of things. Now, I will say, because I live here and I live fairly close to Wrigley Field, you know, a lot of those bars and restaurants are very overrated in my opinion. Yes. Yes. Wow. And that's just because I live here and I know the dynamics and I know kind of what goes into it. But yeah, I mean, as far as you're coming to Chicago and you're wanting to hit a stadium, you want to hit Wrigley Field finally. I mean, it's an incredible scene to walk into that neighborhood and all of a sudden see a ballpark. You know, it's just, it is a very special, unique thing. And I can only imagine, you know, the reaction to these, you know, these huge baseball fans that get to experience that for the first time. It's very special and it's very unique. So yeah. I can appreciate that.
No, it's good. I like your top five. I mean, I think it's, well, we could discuss further, but Petco, I don't think any of these other three parks are going to eclipse. I don't think any of them are going to make your top five. I don't.
Really? So you think that, I mean, I've heard good things about City. I mean, I have City Field. But to me,
there's the airport.
I know.
You know, there's nothing. It's kind of weird when they don't build up something around it. And I'm sure there's some place that I'm not seeing somewhere around there, but nothing that's obvious. And it's the same thing when I went to Miami. When I went to Miami, that behemoth of a park, right?
That's such a weird location. Oh my God.
So what I did was I went to the WBC game. I think it was Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, but I wasn't going to the game. I just wanted to see the scene outside. And then I wanted to watch a game. And there was literally, I walked into places I should not have been walking into looking for a sports bar. And there was nothing.
It is the weirdest location of a stadium I think I've ever seen. Honest to God. And that stadium in general is weird. You walk in there, it's over air conditioned. That place is freezing. Okay. I know it's Miami, but good Lord, let's take it down a notch. They never open the roof. They never open the roof. It feels very sterile. It's like a mall. I was not a huge fan.
Here's a controversial take. Second best stadium in Florida.
Oh God. I know you want me to say Tropicana, but I can't. I can, I won't.
So here's the reason why, right? I'm not saying Tropicana feels good. I'm not. And for working perspective, it's great, but no one cares.
I've heard that.
No one cares about that.
Right,
so,
I've heard that.
But I will say this. St. Pete has taken it up a notch.
I love St. Pete's. The area is fantastic, but I'm against Tropicana Field because that was originally built for the White Sox. So.
You want a good story about that?
Want
to punctuate this with a good story?
Always.
So remember Vaughn Hayes?
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
Did I tell you this story or no?
Refresh me.
All right. So there, when Tropicana Field is made, and you know why the roof is tilted?
When I hear it, I'll know it. Yes.
Air conditioning costs.
That's it. Yep. I didn't know that.
So when they did it, they got all the dignitaries out there and they're okay. We're going to test this out. And Vaughn Hayes was out in the outfield and they hit a fly ball. And I apologize to the Vaughn Hayes family if it wasn't him, but this is what I was told. So, and he's like, I can't see it. I can't see the ball. And it drops, and they're like, "Oh no, we have to change the whole roof." And then he was just kidding; he was joking.
I never heard that story. Yeah. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, good Tropicana Field story. There is no better way to punctuate this podcast than with a good Tropicana Field podcast.
That's it. But I can never support them because that was supposed to be the home of the Chicago White Sox. Cannot support that.
And listen, your tanning, if that happened, your tanning plan would have been.
Oh, would have been through the roof. I mean, pardon the pun.
The Hollander?
Oh, I've stayed there. I've stayed at the Hollander. I love that pool.
Have you ever seen the Vinoy?
The rooftop, one of my favorite, the rooftop pool. Yes.
It's haunted. Yes. It's haunted, but it's got a good rooftop. Yeah.
And I do believe in haunted hotels. I've had some experiences. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
That'll be a separate podcast.
Yeah, we're running long. Okay. All right, Cordy. Thank you.
As always, thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.